Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and although we are not live, we are live adjacent. So close to live that if we were a baby, Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia would try to make us comfortable while we died. So that's how close to live we are. I decided to record today because previous, I guess, situations sort of allowed me to see the wisdom of getting these things down before we were supposed to be live, because there have been technical difficulties. There's way too much to talk about to leave it for another week. Now, I realize that some of you will be wondering where I'm going with this, and I do have a point. Yesterday was my 20th year anniversary. I've been married for two decades. 20 years. It's hard to fathom. It's been 20 years, but here we are. And the reason that I mention this isn't to get the congratulatory emails or anything, but it's to, I guess, highlight why I am not black-pilled. Because I've gotten a surprising number of emails from a lot of different people going, How can you still be in a jovial mood? How can you still smile? How come you're not black-pilled? How come you're not just waiting for the end of it all, you know, just hanging in there, you know, for dear life? And it's because this morning I woke up early. I was outside doing a little writing. And my two-and-a-half-year-old came and knocked on the window and said, "Good morning, Daddy." About 3 minutes later, her older sister came downstairs as well, and she knocked on the window, and she said, "Good morning, Daddy," as well. As long as I see those smiling faces, there's no way I'm getting black-pilled. There's no way I'm giving up. There's no way I'm throwing my hands up in surrender. Are things dicey? Yes, I'd be lying to you if I said they weren't. The latest thing being what's happening in Atlanta. Now, in case you haven't heard, there has been another shooting, and unlike the George Floyd incident, this, in my personal opinion and my personal estimation, was wholly justified. A man fell asleep from excess of alcohol while in the drive-thru at Wendy's, of all places. So the employees called the cops. I watched the whole thing. It was a very long video, but I watched it to get context. I watched it so that I could understand what was happening, so that I would have enough information to take a position, I guess is the best way I can put it. So they talked to the man. Everything was copacetic. He admitted that he'd had a few to drink. In his estimation, it was 1.5. He popped over the legal limit, and they were about to arrest him. Now, it's come out that the man had priors, and if he would have gotten arrested, he'd probably have gone back to jail. But he decided to fight the cops. The officer that ended up shooting him was basically knocked just head first into the pavement. This was not a nonviolent incident where a cop just decided to unholster his weapon and pop a few rounds into some innocent bystander. This isn't what it was. This is nothing like George Floyd. Even though, you know, George Floyd wasn't shot, but you understand what I'm trying to say. He fought two police officers. He ended up wrestling the taser from one of them. He was running, and he pointed it back and tried to fire it, I guess. Now, I understand. Believe me, I understand. There's a lot of armchair quarterbacking. There's a lot of people sitting there sanctimoniously going, well, I would have. Would you have, really? Because everybody's a hero after the fight, aren't they? Everybody knows exactly what they would have done and how they would have done it, how they would have proceeded, how they would have gone about doing something perfectly. But you're talking about an individual that had just been slammed onto his head. Apparently he has a concussion or had a concussion after the melee. And he sees the suspect running and pointing something back towards him and his partner. And this officer shot. He didn't miss. He had training. The gentleman in question ended up expiring. And the Atlanta, I guess what you would call it, district attorney decided that he would charge the officer on 11 charges, one of which carries the death penalty. So the reason I'm telling you this is because if they can't get cities to defund the police, they're going to get police to throw up their hands and just not show up for the job anymore. If the city you work for prosecutes you for defending your own life, because no matter how you cut it, if you watch the whole thing, I don't care who you are, the shooting was justified. And I know there's a lot, well, why couldn't they just have driven him home? He was being cuffed. Perhaps they would have. They never got a chance. He attacked them. And I'm sorry, there's nobody that signs up to be law enforcement, police, or anything else that allows for being murdered by someone who doesn't want to go back to jail. There's no amount of money. I've gotten stopped by cops a handful of times. But when I do, I speed well. So I have gotten stopped on occasion by law enforcement. Now, whenever law enforcement stops me, there is an unwritten rule of sorts. There is an agreement between the two of us. I want to see another sun rise, and so does he. Now, because both of us want to survive our interaction with each other, I'm not going to try to punch the cop or run away. He's not going to pull a gun on me just because he feels like it. Now, there have been occasions where in the middle of the night, I get stopped by a cop, Gino sleeping in the back seat, and like anyone woke him from a stupor, he tries to put on his seatbelt real quick, and the glint from the seatbelt shone off the cop's flashlight, and Gino almost caught one. Because, man, that guy was quick as lightning. He pulled on him. Because you don't know what's going on. They rolled up on a guy sleeping in his car at the Wendy's drive-thru. So the whole idea that I had one, maybe two, allow me to be a bit skeptical. Huh? Allow me my skepticism, if you will. If you fall asleep in the drive-thru at a Wendy's, chances are better than good that you've had more than one and a half, wink, wink. Top shelf or otherwise. So they find a man sleeping in his car. They have a cordial conversation. And everything goes south when they attempt to arrest him. He attacks them. He does a wrestling move on one just straight onto his head, onto the pavement. Grabs the taser from the other, starts running, points back, and attempts to fire. Now, armchair quarterbacking being what it is, well, I would have. But just put yourself in the officer's shoes for a second. You just got the silly knocked out of you. Your partner's laying on the ground. And this man is running and he's pointing something back towards you. There's civilians because there's a bunch of people filming this from their cars, because apparently nobody has the requisite neurons to have any sort of sense of self-preservation. When they see cops and criminals duking it out, pulling guns and shooting, they don't, you know, sort of get down a little bit. They're still filming it with their phone. Hey, next time, just remember this in case you're in one of these situations. Your phone is not like Superman's outfit. It won't protect you from bullets. That was one of the things I noticed that I'm like, people are just this dumb. People are risking their lives just to get some footage on a cell phone. But to end the story and sort of dovetail into what I see coming, and I think what's already been happening. The man got shot because he took a cop's taser. He pointed it at him. The cop didn't know what it was. Somebody was pointing what looked like a weapon. He was attempting to fire it. Tragic as it is, it happened here in Milwaukee a few years ago where a kid with a plastic gun was pointing it at cops. And I again, if you're not in the situation with your adrenaline pumping, say to yourself, well, he should have asked, was it a taser or a firearm? Then he should have proceeded to inquire as to whether the gentleman would attempt to take the officer's gun once he had tasered him and shoot him in the head. Because once the officer was incapacitated, how do you know what the man would have done? Because it's easy to draw conclusions. Oh, cop was in the wrong. Well, how do you know that once the cop allowed himself to be tasered? Because that's basically, and you know, let's say that unlike 99% of people, he could calm his heart. His adrenaline wasn't pumping. He looked and he saw that it was a taser, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to take one for the team. I don't want to shoot this gentleman who just accosted me. I don't want to shoot this gentleman who just violently rammed me into the concrete. I'm going to take one for the team. Takes a taser right to the face. Drops down, you know, doing the shake and bake. What guarantee did that officer have that once the man fleeing saw that the officer was incapacitated, he didn't just walk up, unholster his sidearm, pull back the firing pin, and drop two hot ones in his cranium? Because I know, armchair quarterbacks, they're their latest craze now. I would have done it different. The reality of the situation is this. A man resisted arrest. He fought two officers. He took a taser. He was running away, then turned and pointed the taser towards the officers, at which point the officer fired lethal rounds. If police the nation over feel as though they will not only be criminally charged, but face potential execution because they were upholding the law and because they were defending their lives, how many people do you think will still want to be law enforcement? Because once this was made public, once they said that they were going to charge this officer with 11 counts, apparently there's a blue flu going around in Atlanta. If you don't know what the blue flu is, it's when a lot of law enforcement that were supposed to work the job decide to call in sick. So if they can't get a city to defund the police, the next best thing is to criminalize police work to such an extent where police just won't show up to do the job anymore. And this is what is happening in Atlanta right now. Because we've demonized law enforcement to the point that they're having razor blades put in their pizza and they're having Clorox or something thrown into their milkshakes. There are people actively trying to hurt anyone in a uniform. And the mayors and the governors and those that are supposed to have their backs are throwing them to the wolves. They're trying to pacify the mob. And what most people just don't understand is that you can't ever pacify the mob. The mob will always want something more. The mob will always extend and expand their list of demands. Think on that. Because right now what's happening in Atlanta should be an alarm going off for anyone that still hopes to be living in a constitutional republic come 2021. If the law is so haphazardly applied, if law enforcement can be charged with murder for defending their own life, then the whole idea of civil society has gone out the window, hasn't it? We are no better than the nations of old that we read of, where mob rule was the order of the day, where if enough people got together and demanded that someone be strung up, well, they just strung them up. Because who are you to stand against the mob? It's not going to end well. We've discussed this, and I wished and I hoped that this week we'd be discussing something else. But let me just reaffirm, it's not going to end well. Now, while all this is going on, and for anyone thinking that this is all happening in a vacuum, think again. This nation's enemies see that everyone's distracted. And they know that when someone's distracted, that is when it's the best time to act. Sometimes decisively, sometimes covertly, sometimes overtly. The Chinese see it, the Russians see it. Every nation sees what is happening in this country, and some of them are cheering it on because the worse it gets here, the weaker we are, and the weaker we are, the easier we are to put down. And the other side seems to have not a clue. Or if they do, they simply don't care about the damage that they're doing to this nation. And there are certain areas that the damage is irreparable. Understand that there are certain segments, there are certain things that will never go back to the way they were. And there are nefarious forces in this world that love to see what is happening in this nation. Now, when you take that and you see what The Supreme Court of these United States has been legislating recently. I understand how you might say to yourself, that's it, I'm done. Pull the pin, pull the ripcord. That's it, I'm out. And yes, that would probably be easier. Just disengage. If that's what they want, let them have it. Then they'll see. Yeah, maybe then they'll see. However, there are a lot of innocent people that would get hurt in the process. And the question would be, would you be able to live with yourself had you said nothing, had you done nothing, had you sat on the sidelines and watched it all crumble? Because this is not just an American problem. This thing has metastasized, it has spread, it has grown throughout the world. America, however, is the only country where the citizenry is still capable of defending their rights because they still have the ability to do so. Every other nation in the world has defanged its citizens. America is the last great bastion where the citizenry is still not defanged. And this is why the politicians hate you so. This is why at every turn they're trying to pass legislation and law and bills and whatnots. Because they can't rule you completely while you are still able to defend your freedoms. They despise you for it. Because if you think that any politician views you as an equal, you got a lot of learning to do. Every single one of them, save perhaps a handful, despise their constituents. They couldn't care less. But you lost your job? Good. You lost your home? Good. You're suicidal? Good. Go to the liquor store. It's still open. I'm surprised that they haven't started handing out vouchers for free booze. Because they're trying to keep the average citizen either in a drunken stupor or high off his behind, so they don't see what's happening and what they're doing to this nation and how rapidly it's happening. Look, today, as I am recording this, the Supreme Court rejected the administration's rescinding of the DREAMer Act because, and I quote, the Chief Justice said the administration didn't consider the hardship for illegals. Never mind the hardship for the average citizen. You don't matter. Shut up and pay your taxes. What, looters burnt down your business? Who cares? Pay your taxes anyway. See, there's this resentment that's beginning to boil. It's been simmering for a long time. I don't know if you've ever simmered something like, tomato sauce. And once in a while, you see one of the bubbles, you know, and pop. Well, we're beyond the simmer right now. Right now, we're boiling. We're at that point where everything gets sprayed with tomato sauce. because the bubbles are popping one after the other fast and furious, and you're trying to shut off the oven before your wife finds out that half the kitchen looks like a homicide took place. Not that it's happened recently. But I tried making spaghetti sauce once. It was a horrible ordeal. We're at the boiling point. We're not simmering anymore. And as the resentment builds and as the resentment grows, if respect for the rule of law gets eroded to the point of non-existence, what you have is a convergence of two very dangerous mindsets. On the one side, you have identified who is to blame for your predicament. You have identified who is to blame for your situation. And even though, as you might well know, I'm a big proponent of personal accountability and personal responsibility, man, there's a lot of people going through some hard stuff where they had no say-so or control over the situation. Everything right in life still kicked them in the teeth. And once life was done kicking them in the teeth, some hoodlum came and burnt down their house around them. These are people that are just barely hanging on, psychologically speaking. And when they get a chance, they turn on their television, and what they see is law enforcement being criminalized and criminals being sainted. I don't want to go into the personal history of either George Floyd or this newest person that died. They're gone. They're dead. But suffice it to say, neither one was a saint. Yet somehow they're being sainted. The man in Atlanta was on bail for child abuse, but nobody talks about that. The narrative is a man was sleeping in his car, the police just rolled up on him, and pop, 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 they shot him dead. That's not what happened. But the news is repeating the same lies. The district attorney of Atlanta repeated the same lies. He's charging an officer of the law with murder, aggravated murder, which carries the death penalty. Anyone objective that watches that video can see exactly what happened. And I've heard the whole, well, they could have just let him go. None of this would have happened if they would have let him go. Well, let's say they did. And then in his inebriated state, he rolls out of the Wendy's drive-thru. And 2 minutes later, head-on collision. Kills a mother and her child, a dad coming home from work, whatever it is. Then the narrative would have been incompetent police release drunk man who then went on to murder a mother and her child. See, when they have a narrative, when they have an agenda, when they have some target, some destination that they want to get to, whatever happens, they will spin it to their advantage. And we're falling for it like rubes. Every single day, more, well, you know, they may be right about the cops. You know what? Atlanta's about to have a police holiday. for a few days, maybe more. Because if what I've been seeing is true, then the blue flu is spreading throughout Atlanta. Atlanta PD called, neighboring communities to send officers to help. And guess what? Unless it was an officer down call, nobody showed up. Good for them. And at the same time, after throwing this man under the bus and trying him for murder, the mayor of Atlanta has the temerity to get on television and remind the officers that they took a sacred oath. Remember the oath you took. Well, I'm sorry, but the oath they took wasn't a suicide pact. If they are not allowed to defend themselves, if they are not allowed to do what it takes to go home to their husbands or their wives and their children, then I don't think a lot of them want to be cops anymore. But see, again, the agenda is preeminent. And you have to understand that if these people succeed in implementing their agenda, it will be to your detriment. If you are an upstanding, law-abiding, tax-paying citizen, if these people's agenda gets implemented, it will be to your detriment. Because they understand that as long as you let the hooligans be hooligans, they won't care what they do. See, some of us honest folks still care what our politicians do. This is why I think there will be an enormous backlash against every Republican that sat on their hands and was mealy-mouthed about what's going on in this country. I think it's even to Donald Trump's detriment that he's been so laissez-faire about it. The average citizen pays taxes with the expectation of his tax money paying for security. But see, the hooligans and the hoodlums, as long as they get theirs, they don't care what the politicians do or how much they grift. And the scummier politicians realize this. And so they're willing to let you be the sacrificial lamb. They're willing to let you get burnt out of your business, beaten by a 2x4, stabbed in the gut, shot in the face, carjacked at gunpoint, as long as they can keep their power. And that's how the idea of a government by the people, for the people, dies. When those that were duly elected to do the bidding of the people do what's contrary to the good of their citizenry. It's, look, again, and some days I'll be the first to admit, kids, some days it's a struggle not to be black-pilled. But you know what? If they happen to be at daycare, I still got pictures of my kids on my phone. And all I have to do is look at the smile and go, all right, no, I'm not going to give in to desperation. I'm not going to give in to despondency. I'm not going to see everything as bleak and hopeless. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to tell the truth. And I'll fight for justice. And anyone that's willing to stand for justice, I don't care what color you are red, white, black, blue. Because you know what? All these screaming heads, they're a vocal minority. They're small. Because there's decent people trying to live their lives and provide for their kids and raise families of every ethnic background that is looking at what is happening in this country with horror and disgust. But they're afraid. They're afraid to say anything because once they do, the mob comes after them. And they get doxxed and they get fired and they get threatened. A nation of 330 million people is being controlled by fear and intimidation by a handful of thugs and hooligans. And the longer we let it go on, the more sure of themselves they're going to be, the more confident they're going to be, and the more they're going to want. And it may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but one of these days, I don't care where you live, one of these days, there will be a knock on your door. Would you like to contribute? Make an unplanned donation, if you will, to help the cause. Because if you don't, well, you know, we'll burn you out of your home. Maybe beat up your kids for good measure. Government can't stop what's coming. Because right now, government is absentee and they're allowing this to go on. And if they've allowed this to go on for this long, then the erosion of trust in government and in governing bodies has already eroded. Imagine being someone who called the cops that you were getting looted or robbed, and nobody showed up. Now, granted, some people will blame the cops for not showing up. But those that are willing to take a second and see what's happening will lay blame where blame is due. It's going to be a hard row. And it will be tempting to give in to a variety of things. Whether anger, whether psychopathy, whether desperation or depression, there's a lot of slings and arrows the enemy will throw at you in the coming months and in the coming year. When that occurs, just remember who you are. Remember that you are a son and daughter of God. It's tempting to let hate make its way into one's heart. And the only way you can keep from letting hate warm its way into your heart is to make certain that your heart is so overflowing with love that there's no room left in it for anything else. Am I saying just sit by and watch things happen? No. Administer justice, but do so out of love, not out of hate. See, if someone attempts to harm my wife or my daughters, the vengeance I will visit upon them will not be because I hate them. It will be because I love my wife and daughters. It will not originate in hate. The vengeance I will visit upon them originates in love. And that's an important distinction, because there are a lot of people doing hateful things out of hatred. And not only is it counterproductive, but it's corrosive to the soul. Administer justice with love. Now, I wrote an essay this morning, and I published it on my blog. And I'm not going to read it, because you can go do that for yourselves. I can't spoon feed you. But the crux of it was this. If we do what we must, if we stand in truth, if we're willing to endure the slings and arrows, then even though we might not be able to stop what's coming, we might put it off for a season. Now, I understand there are some people that don't want to put it off. Oh, let it happen. Nah, I like to see those smiles every morning. So, if I can do anything to ensure that I see those smiles a couple days more, I'm going to do it. And it's not selfish. What's selfish is staring at our navels waiting for the rapture. And some of you at some point during this journey will feel those cold tendrils of despair when the one thing you hoped in more than anything else isn't coming to pass. Because, see, there are believers who had a singular purpose, a singular desire to be gone before any of the ugly bits took place. They were so entrenched in their mindset that they would hear no one. They would discard every verse in the Bible that pointed to something other than what affirmed their bias. And they judged brutally anyone who would say, what if it doesn't? What if you are not caught up before the first sign of trouble? What if you will be here for a while longer than you think? Are you prepared? Are you ready for that? Mentally, spiritually? I don't have to be, because I will. And just because you said that, you're not getting raptured with me. Someone's actually said that to me. Jesus is going to leave me behind to teach me a lesson. Never doubt Bruce and his pre-tribulation theory. Because if you do, Bruce will put in a bad word and you're not going to be part of the first wave. That said, we're starting to see the ugliness ramp up. We're starting to see lawlessness abound. We're starting to see good called evil and evil called good. And because we are seeing these things with our own eyes, it is incumbent upon us to ask the question, are we ready to see worse? Because whether you want to believe it or not, worse is coming. Now, just in case you think America's the only one with problems, I ran across this article, and I had such a vitriolic reaction to it. And I went back and forth as to whether I was going to share this with you, and I finally decided I would. if for no other reason than for you to understand that evil exists. Evil is ever present. That whole idea that, oh, there's no such thing as bad people. Just good people with, you know, limited information. No, there are evil people. There are people in which evil resides. And when I read this, it just, it tore me up. German officials placed children with known pedophiles for 30 years. Let that sink in for a second. And that's just the headline. German officials placed children with known pedophiles for 30 years. These officials, who were supposed guardians of these children, overseers of their well-being. A former chancellor of West Germany, Berlin, senators, bureaucrats, and members of the educational establishment have all been implicated in a network in which pedophile positions were accepted, supported, and defended. According to a report into the placement of homeless children with known pedophiles, foster parents by the German government. For over a year, researchers at the University of Hildesheim have undertaken the examination of thousands of files in the Senate Education Administration in Berlin. The 57-page report, which was published this week, found that a network of actors in the Senate, administration, and institutions of educational reforms during the home reform of the 1970s tolerated the establishment of shared apartments and foster homes for pedophile men. A man with a criminal record for child abuse referred in the report as Fritz H. was able to rape and abuse at least 9 children that were given to him as foster children under the government-backed scheme. Despite the extreme warning signs, Berlin youth welfare officers consistently chose him as a foster father to children who were often 6 or 7 years old. But no, evil doesn't exist. We have to love everybody. There's no such thing as evil people. Stop saying that. I can continue reading this. It'll make your stomach churn. The abuse committed by Fritz H. was carried out from the 1970s until 2003. The report specifically pointed to the Pedological Center in Berlin as the main coordinating institution of the scheme, though added that the policy was likely to have extended throughout the whole country. Man, I remember back in the mid-90s, Romania caught a lot of flack for no longer allowing international adoptions. And when they were pressed on the reasons why, this was one of the reasons. Because rich pedophile Londoners and Germans and Italians and Frenchmen would come and adopt playthings for themselves from Romania. But that's okay. You keep burying your head in the sand and pretend evil doesn't exist. No, it's just a misunderstanding. It can't possibly be this bad. It's worse. This was basically state-sanctioned abuse of 6 and 7-year-olds. The world is descending ever deeper into the abyss. It is descending ever deeper into darkness. And the fact that the household of faith isn't righteously indignant about it is most troubling of all. I don't know where to go from here, man. It's just, it saps you. It destroys you when you read things like this. This wasn't a one-off thing. This has been going on since the 70s. But hey, Joel Osteen's coming out with a new book. An Even Better Life Than Your Best Life Now. All you have to do is take a knee, because there is no best life without enlightenment. Some days, you know, you wish that just for a little respite, just for a little, you know, pause in the madness. But it's only going to escalate. And at some point, we're going to reach terminal velocity. And once we have reached terminal velocity, then all bets are off, kids. So what can you do? Well, be prayed up. Guard your heart. Don't react in hate, and don't react in fear. Judiciously in love. See, for the longest time, the church has been reacting to everything. We've been on the defensive for so long, we don't know what it is to go on the offensive. And that's sad. Because we've been singing lies for very many years. Remember that one? God's got an army marching through the land. Yep. Mm-hmm. You see it? I don't know. Maybe in your neighborhood. We're getting close. We're getting close. But at least no one will have the excuse of, I didn't know. Who could have seen this coming? Well, some people. And for the longest time, those people were ridiculed, made fun of, ostracized. No, we weren't supposed to talk about those things. We weren't supposed to talk about things that we knew nothing about, but that sounded very lofty. Black holes and meteors and double suns and polar shifts. All those wondrous things that none of us could make heads or tails of, but man, we sounded smart talking about them, didn't we? Well, here we are. No black hole, no meteor. Just the daily deconstruction of civil society. Just the daily upturning of justice and law. I don't know, maybe at this point aliens would be welcome. But they're not coming. So, anyway, I know, funky mood. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. I'll still be smiling. Who knows what fresh hell we'll be discussing then. But hey, you know, another week will have gone by. May God bless you. May God keep you. Gino, if you got anything to say, go for it. I'm done.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't help but keep from laughing. you know, the thing is, people have run after these hypotheses and, like you said, the alien thing and all these things. And yet, the warnings of God have been out there 35 years. And you know what? They're coming to pass. And you know why they're coming to pass? because the Bible says God would have healed Babylon, but it wouldn't be healed. And a good example of that is the Supreme Court. 9 people have done so much damage to our country. They approved gay marriage the last year of Obama's term. They've just approved now civil rights for transgender and gays and LGBTQ, whatever. You know, there's so many alphabet numbers in that, or letters in that wording now, you can't keep up with it. But it's just, it's what God said in Jeremiah 51. He would have healed Babylon. But yet I'm with Mike. You know what? It's time to stand up for what we believe. I'm not tossing in the towel at all. I'm with Mike. I can rejoice. I have the Lord. And I have the Lord of the Bible. And we have Christ. And we're able to hold our head up and say, you know what? We have warned, been faithfully warning this country. Demetriou faithfully warned this country. And when you do that faithfully before God, your hands are clean. And Mike's hands are clean. I was with Mike almost 20 years, going out every weekend, sometimes weeks on end. And he did that even before we went out with Demetriou for 10 years. That's a long time to be blowing a trumpet. But we still have to be vocal. We still have to stand up like never before. Be the church. Speak up, stand up, rise up. Be strong. Stand up in your town, your community. Fight for values that are biblical. Stand up for the faith like never before. Because guess what? God is still able. God is able to destroy the plans of the devil. God is able to add days. God is able to extend grace. So you know what? Fight for what you stand for. What you stand for. Stand for God. Stand for the faith. Stand for truth in your town, in your area. We've seen lots of victories in Wisconsin with Christians standing up, standing for decency. We've seen strip clubs shut down. We've seen sex trafficking rings broken up. And we've seen all kinds of victories because it's not time to be silent and sit down. It's time to stand up and defend the things of God. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening to The Light of Truth.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.